we tried to preach on last week, that Jesus Christ is God. We read from John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We read over there where it said, unto you a child is born of a virgin, his name shall be called, they shall call him Emmanuel, and it being interpreted, God with us. We read about where when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that we would be as one as him and the Father was one. We talked about in Philippians where he said that he didn't find it robbery to be equal with God. And we found it where he forgave sins. Jesus Christ forgave sins. So Jesus is God. And we're going to try to go a little further with that this week. And there's nothing impossible for God to do. But there is some things that God cannot do. One, God cannot lie. And there's others, but one, he cannot lie. And so we want to talk about that one this week. And God cannot lie. And I can't see through these glasses. Y'all pray for us. I want to slow down. I don't want to say nothing, be confusing to anybody. I want everything I say, I want it to come from the Word of God. And whether I'll be able to slow down, I say that all the time. It's happened very few times. But maybe today will be a time that I can. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he couldn't swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, multiply, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for a confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto his heirs the promise of immutability, I can't hardly say that word, of his counsel confirmed by his oath. And that is unchangeable, what that immutability, can you say it, Brother Larry? Immutability, yes, thank you. That by two immutable things in which he was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled to the refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have in an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And for by the many mistakes we made reading that, I'd ask you for forgiveness and ask God forgive us. Our thought in that is which it is impossible for God to lie. And immutable things that, like I said, that is is unchangeable. That is his counsel and his oath. And whatever God says, if he promised something, or his word of God says that, anything he says, it's not going to change. I don't care how you try to turn around and try to make it sound like something different than what it is, it will not change. So if the word of God says something, then it's there. It's real, and you've got to deal with it. Now, we can't change the Word of God to where it'll suit what we want to believe. So what I want to try to get at today, and I pray with the Lord's help we can get at, and God cannot lie. And I'm so thankful for His promises. I'm thankful over here in Titus 1:3, it says, 1 and 2, but in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Now I want to talk about the eternal life a little bit today, and the hope that we have and the confidence, and that's what the hope means, amen, eternal life that God has promised us. I want you to know when He saves your soul, He said in Hebrews 13:5, He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And so I have all confidence in God and His promises and His oath to me that He will never leave me nor He will ever forsake me. And I'm thankful that He's with me today. I'm thankful when you're saved by God's grace, hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He dwells in us because He's given to us His Spirit. And when His Spirit comes in us, we're made alive and we have eternal life. Now this flesh is going to die because of sin. That's a fact. But what's in me when you're born again of the Spirit? We can go over there and read it in a few minutes. Once you're born again of the Spirit, you have eternal life. And I want you to know that's something a little hard to understand when we start separating the flesh from the Spirit. But I pray God will help us in a weak way to be able to bring out a little bit to do with that. But I'm thankful today. I don't know about y'all, but I'm thankful for the promises of God. I'm thankful for the oath and the counsel. People say all the time that I'm crazy and maybe I need to seek counseling. I seek out counseling. I do every day. I seek out counseling every day. I seek out counsel from God. And I want you to know His counseling is good. And His counseling will stand forever. When you go to Him for counseling, you know you're going to get the truth. You go to some man, he might lie to you to make you feel better. But God's counseling is true. And His oaths are true. His promises are true. I'm thankful no matter what you go through. We was talking about Brother Carter's daddy praying for him earlier. And I watched my daddy get old and feeble and get weak. And I'll grow close to death. And my daddy was saved by God's grace. But he loved life. He didn't want to die. He loved my mama so. He wanted to be there for my mama. I think that's what it was all about with him. But I want you to know I watched him grow old and feeble and die. But I want you to realize today how when that time comes for me, I know I don't have to fear. My daddy didn't fear where he was going. He didn't fear that part of it. But I don't understand it. He didn't either, and neither do you. But I'm thankful for the promise of God. I have eternal life. I'm thankful that today I went down there to the hospital and they flew Daddy down there to Nashville down there to the hospital. And when I got there, I was sitting in there in the waiting room waiting for them to call us. And they finally called us in the little room. And I knew then it wasn't going to be good. But then that doctor began to ask me questions and talk to me and ask me all about my daddy's health history and all these things. So I began to think, you know, Daddy's going to be all right. They're wanting know how to treat him. They want to know what he's taking. And you'd ask my wife, this went on for 20 minutes. And then after about 20 minutes, I answered all his questions. He said, your father didn't make it. And I thought, why in the world did you give me all this hope? Why didn't you just tell me? So this man had all kinds of knowledge and wisdom but his counseling was no good. I tell you that. But I'm thankful when I go to God, I don't have to be led around a path to get somewhere. He just tells me the way it is. That's what His Word is. It just tells you plainly the way things is. And whether you accept that or not, that's up to you. But my job is to try to preach the Word and I'll give godly counseling in that. And I want you to know let God be true, never man be a liar. I give you oath, I'll promise you things that I'll never keep. And I want to tell you something, you'll do the same thing. We tell people all the time, if you need me, holler. I want you to know right then we're knowing they need us. Don't we know they do? Most of the time when we say that, we know they need us. But honey, we want them to holler for us. And then when they holler, if we ain't careful, we'll make a reason why we can't do it then. I want you to know when we make an oath, we need to keep it. But listen to me, God's promises are true. And His oaths are true. And when He said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you, that is the truth. Never for 1 minute since I've been saved by God's grace has He left me. Never for 1 second, I'm talking about a twinkling of an eye, has He forsaken me. He has always been true. Once you're born of the Spirit of God and the seed of God is planted in you, I want you to know you have eternal life. Amen. And there's no way you can be separated from God. Brother Larry done a good job talking about John 3:16, and I had it marked, brother. And I want to tell you, it seemed like here lately, me and you've been on the same path on some things. But it said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So He's made that promise. And right before that, He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I want you to know you must be born again. Now we're going to get into something here in a minute. I pray it won't be confusing to you. But it's got to be that way. So listen to me. This is part of what's been on my heart. And we'll get to the rest of it next week. But listen, I pray that we'll be able to bring this out in a way that God showed it to me. And I've never been able to do that yet in anything I preach. But I pray today that we make it plain. I don't want to do nothing to confuse anybody ever. That's not what we're about. We're trying to make the least child understand it. But I want you to understand today, I believe a man, when God made a man, we'll go read it to you in a minute. When He made a man, He gave him a soul. He breathed in his nostril and he became a living soul. I believe in that. Some people say there's a threefold being. I've always believed it to be a twofold. Being. Maybe I'm not smart enough to understand it just yet. Maybe someday I'll be able to see it the different way. I don't know. But I know that there's at least a twofold being. I believe the soul, when He breathed in the nostrils of a man, He became a living soul. I believe in that. The spirit and the soul, I believe, are tangled together. They're knitted together as one. I want you to realize when you die, your soul or spirit is going to go somewhere and it's going to spend eternity. So I want us to understand that much. So we have that. That's different than animals. The animals, whether you want to believe it or not, I've got a dog at the house. Call him Abraham. We got him over at Marty's. When I went and got him, took him in my hands, told him I was taking him to a new country. Called him Abraham, and I love that little dog, but that little dog don't have a soul. I want to tell you, I hear people say it all the time, you can believe what you want to. You say you love your dog like you do your child. I'm glad I'm not your child. I'm thankful I'm not your child. I want you to know that today. I love that little dog, but I love my children more. I want you to know that today. There's nothing wrong with loving the dog. I love mine. If something happens to him today when I get home, I'll be heartbroken. But I want you to know that child, that dog ain't got a soul. He breathed in God at 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish, and over the seas, and over the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He said, let us make man our own image. I believe, honey, He made man in a spiritual image, a soul, something that would be eternal. Amen. Animals, He made them to die. Now, I'm telling you, you ain't going to like this if you love your animals. but they made them to die and they're just dead. But I want you to realize, honey, he made a man that he would live eternally. And in that, he gave him a soul and a spirit. I hope we make this plain. And he said, "Oh, here then in 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils and breathed the breath of life, and the man came a living soul." So I want you to know he made him something that would be eternal. He said we'd make him in man in our own image. So we find in over there, and then here's where it gets more difficult, and I want you to stay with me just a little while and pay attention, because this has got to be the way it is. It can't be no other way. Listen to me. He said over there, he told the man, he said, "Over there, of every tree of the garden you shall surely eat, but the tree of knowledge and good and evil, when you eat of that tree, you will surely die." So we find then how Satan, the old serpent, came and beguiled Eve and told her, he said, "Will you surely die?" And she saw the fruit that was good and pleasant to look upon. And she took and ate of the fruit, and she gave it to her husband. And when she gave it to her husband, their eyes was open. And I believe, you won't find where they died a physical death there. But we always say a spiritual death. A spiritual death, or their soul died there. But here, you say, "Well, we know this." But here's what I want you to get a hold of today. And it's got to be this way. It can't be no other way. Listen to me. He said, we always say, and I believe it, that their soul or spirit died that day. But it died to God. It didn't go out of existence. I mean, you'll say, "Brother Jeff, it died, it's dead." Listen to me. Honey, if Adam had died in the state he was in, where would his soul went? It would have went to hell. So was it dead? Was it gone out of existence? No, it was not. His spirit or soul was not dead. It was just dead to God. He was separated from God. That's what the second death is. It's total and complete for eternity. Death, separation from God. That is the punishment. Hell is the place you go, but the punishment is being totally separated and dead from God. It's not dead. That soul that died spiritually and never is reborn again will live eternity. He just lives it now. It's got to be that way. So it don't go like a dog or cat does. I know this is hard for you to hear. It don't just die and it's just dead. It's just dead unto God. And when we get a grasp on that and just understand that, that's what the second death is. It goes on. Does it even make any sense to have a second death and you don't die? You get it? We say it all the time. You'll be cast into the lake of fire, and that's what the second death is. Are you dead? We'll say then you're going to live for eternity. I'm confused. That's what Larry said. So, are you dead or are you living for eternity in hell? You're living. Your soul is living in eternity to hell, but it's dead to God. That's the way it's got to be. So when we get to maybe next week to some of this other stuff, maybe we can clearly more understand where we're heading in this. And I believe we can come together in this and maybe have a little more understanding. And then it's not because I'm coming up with something new. This ain't nothing new. This is the way it's got to be. It's got to work. You can't just come up with an idea and just say, this is the way the Bible works. Amen. It's true. I mean, if it says something, it's got to be true. So you can't be a dead and have eternal life both. When we're born again, we have eternal life. Why is that? Why can't we die anymore, Teresa? Because it's God. It's Him that dwells in us. That's the part of us that can't die. That's the part of us that can never, ever sin again. That's the part of us is connected to God as one. And when we do that, we cannot be separated. It's no way. It's no way. If it was up to Jeff Likens, I would have been separated before I got back to the house that night at Rocky Mount. But honey, it wasn't up to my flesh. Amen. Amen. This flesh don't get born again. Amen. It's going to die. I've said this for a while, and people look at me weird about it, but I'd heard all my life, if we're alive when the resurrection comes, we don't have to die. I ain't going to say it's a lie. I'm just going to say it ain't the truth. The flesh has got to die because of sin. The wages of death, the wages of sin is death. Honey, Adam died. He lived to 930 years old, but he died. Eve died. My daddy died. Your daddy died. John the Baptist died. All because of the flesh. My flesh is going to die. But honey, my soul will live forever. Amen. Eternal life. It will never, once it's born again, it can't die. It can't die. That's the promise of God. Amen. That's His oath. That's His counsel to me. That's His counsel to you. I don't worry about going to hell no more. I'm not worried about when I die. I'm worried about the sting of death. I ain't going to lie to you. And if you don't worry about the sting to death, there's something wrong with you. I'm just going to tell you this way it is. There's something just ain't working just exactly right. Because I ain't ever experienced death. Not that kind of death. And I don't know how I'm going to die. I told my son-in-law one day, hey, I mean, he ain't scared. Brandon and he knows I ain't talking about him. I'm being honest. There is things worse than death. Yeah, right. He'll climb up a tree. We'll go hang out there, stands, and he'll hang his up. I'll put mine 15 foot off the ground, scared to death. Ladder stand, got a strap tied to me from the time I leave the ground all the way up yonder, sitting there when I'm for the first hour hunting. I have to get there hour before daylight before I calm down. He'll get up there, 25, 30 foot, and stand on a limb this big right here and just bend around, working and stuff, not holding on to nothing, not trying to. I said, son, you're going to fall. Well, he said, I've been saved. Amen. I was here tonight, it happened. I said, there's worse things than dying. There's pain that you could suffer all your life. So we don't know what kind of pain we're going to have to go through. I ain't scared of death. I'm scared of that pain. That's what I'm scared of. I ain't going to lie to you. But He promised me eternal life, so I'm not worried about that. Amen. Go to hell, I'm going to be all right. Don't you worry about me. I've got it. I know it. You know, Mr. Carver, he used to come, Brother Carver. He'd get out there. I'd be out there on the porch. I'd say, how you doing, Brother Carver? Still got it. Amen, I do too. I'm thankful for that. That's one of His promises. Ain't you thankful when you do stand over your loved one and your heart's crushed and you don't have nowhere else to go? He said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. Ain't you thankful for the promises of God? So there is a death spiritually, but it's death unto God, to God, separated from God. Does everybody understand? Is that, have I been confusing? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a separation. to God. And so that's the death. So this flesh here over here, and we won't be too much longer. Then we'll try next week. I know you're saying, will you please get done next week? I pray we can. This flesh here has never been saved. Adam's never was saved. You say, well, he lived to be 930 years. Well, he did, yeah, he lived a lot longer than I'm going to. I promise you that. But, honey, he still died. It was never saved. It never was a promise for your flesh to have eternal life until the resurrection. And you know why then it'd have eternal life? Because it'd be made unlike it to his. And then it'll be changed. It won't be like it is now. This here ain't fit for the kingdom of God. All right, 1 John 1 and 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So, Brother Jeff, you said a while ago, we can't sin. I can sin. God can't sin. There's the difference. See, he comes inside of us, and there's a part of us can't sin. He makes an indwelling in you. And when he does that, that part of a man's soul or spirit cannot sin. I want you to realize it'll never be separated from God because it can't do nothing to separate it because it's one with God. Can you get that? One. Amen. What did we talk about the other day with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? They're one. That part of us is one with Amen. Him. I don't know about y'all, but I think that's pretty cool. Y'all may not. I get pretty excited to think God ain't way off up yonder somewhere. Amen. Why in the world would he want to inhabit something like this right here? He's inside me right now. And I know you're thinking, well, I don't see much special about you. I don't you neither. Ain't that funny? But there is something. It is something special. It's something, and it's God. He's in here, and he's promised me he ain't going nowhere. And when I die, when I lay down, and this old flesh dies, he's just gonna take the part of him right back with him. Oh, that is real. Ain't that just crazy? Then that same writer goes over here and he explains that. In the third chapter, he says, whosoever is born of God, do not commit a sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. You're born again of the Spirit of God. God makes a dwelling inside you. You can't sin, and it can't die. That is cool. That's a good place to quit. Y'all pray for us that we get done with this next week. I told you it ain't nothing new, but boy, it's good, oh, ain't it? The old story just never grows old, does it? It just gets brighter and brighter every day. We might have a handshake today. If we have a song.